Welcome to Working From Home and Living to Tell About It, the podcast that brings together old pros with a custom home office, newbies working on a laptop from their couch, and those thinking about taking the leap to working from home. Hear real stories of challenges, struggles, and successes from those who live the work from home lifestyle. And along the way, pick up great tips, advice, and life hacks to make working from home both fun and productive. Now, here's your host, nationally recognized technology expert and longtime working from home professional, Marcel Brown.
Welcome to this episode of Working From Home and Living to Tell About It. This is your host, Marcel Brown. Before we get started on the actual episode, I wanted to give you all some context. This episode was actually recorded back in 2020. I'm interviewing Jenny Bellinger, and at the time she had just started her own podcast, Badass Direct Sales Mastery, and was doing pretty well with it. We recorded the episode, and I intended to hold on to it to give some other people some interviews first before publishing this episode. Well, time has moved on and I want to publish this episode now, but I wanted to let you know that in the meantime, Jenny's podcast has grown by leaps and bounds. It has been ranked in the top 300 of all business podcasts. She is generally working the podcast to build her business very effectively, and she was even featured in Podcast Magazine. So I just want to let you know how big of a deal Jenny really is before we get started, because the rest of the episode kind of is almost a time capsule, really kind of harkening back to 2020 when we were in the midst of the pandemic and things were just getting going. However, what she talks about in this episode really served her well during the pandemic and served a lot of people well. And so the information you're about to hear is still really, really relevant today. And so without further ado, here's the episode. Hello and welcome back to the Working From Home and Living to Tell About It podcast. I am your host, Marcel Brown. There is the old business adage that it's not what you know, it's who you know. And certainly it's true in business that the more connections you have, the more successful you're going to be. When you're working from home, especially in this day and age, you need to know how to network from home effectively. And so to help with that, I have a familiar voice to a lot of you. Her name is Jenny Bellinger. She is a certified professional coach and the owner and chief coaching officer of Level Up Coaching, LLC. She's also the mastermind and host of the Badass Direct Sales Mastery podcast. She's been working from home for 10 years, and in the last 3 years has built a coaching business by networking from home. She has networked nationally and internationally from her home office, serving clients all over the United States, Canada, and Australia so far. She's helping others begin to network from home now, and she's agreed to share the mindset around networking from home and 4 specific tips to help you get started today. So, Jenny, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on my podcast again. But this time, I'm going to interview you. So you're going to be the brains behind this particular episode.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. And I'm really happy to get to share this, because I think this is an area that a lot of people have been thinking just isn't possible.
Absolutely. Most people think of networking as a face-to-face activity, but as you have proven over the last 3 years, you can definitely very effectively network from home using the technology that we have available to us today. Mm-hmm. And as more people have been thrust into working from home rather unexpectedly, networking is one of those things that often is going to fall by the wayside or get neglected because they just don't know how to do it effectively. So you say that there's a mindset around networking from home. Could you share that?
Yeah. Well, the first part of that mindset is understanding that it can be done. A lot of people, because they've had this very rigid belief system that networking must be done in person, face-to-face, handshake, you know, sitting over a cup of coffee or having lunch with somebody or out at a large networking event, that's the only way it can be done. And frankly, what I have found is that networking that happens from home is actually oftentimes more powerful than the networking that gets done in person, because there are fewer distractions. There's not other people around.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also able to actually get stuff done during that networking meeting, depending on the purpose of the networking meeting that you're having.
Could you explain a little bit about how getting stuff done during networking? Because most people think, you know, you talk to someone and that's networking.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, yes, obviously networking when done well is the beginning of a relationship building process. But when you're networking for the purpose of business, the Zig Ziglar quote comes to mind, help enough other people get what they want and you'll get what you want, right? Mm-hmm. For many of us who are also members of BNI, we don't just meet for the sake of meeting, or at least I hope that's not why people are doing it. I hope people are meeting with a deeper purpose in mind to actually help the other person build their business, help them make connections, whether it's to other business owners who have the same clients as your referral partner, or to actually begin to connect them to clients who may be in need of their products or service. So by networking from home, you're literally sitting at your computer, which has all of the things you need to help connect the other person to the people that they need to know in order to grow their business. So oftentimes when we're sitting out at a coffee shop networking with somebody, we may have our phone with us, we may have a laptop with us or a tablet device, but it often feels weird to pull it out and start doing work. Whereas if you're already sitting at your computer, all you have to do is say, hey, would you mind if I go ahead and send that email right now? And it's so much faster to just type it and get it done and get it sent right away.
Makes total sense. Makes total sense, because I think it's a good little memory trick to remember. Networking, you should be working. You should be trying to make those connections. Send the email, that if you say, hey, I got this person that you should talk to, let me send the email right now, and it's done.
Yeah. And that's what makes it so much more powerful, because when people come away from a meeting, feel not just feeling good about getting to know you, but also knowing that you've made the introductions that you said you were going to make before you guys even signed off or got off the phone. Because of course, networking from home doesn't have to be done on Zoom or Skype or FaceTime. It can be a phone call as well. But I always make sure that I point out to the other person, that I'm, when possible, making that connection right then and there, or at least requesting permission from the other person to start the connection process.
Yeah.
So that way I'm following through and living in integrity and doing what I said I was going to do, which makes that networking meeting much more powerful, because then people want to meet with me, because every time they do, they get something from it. And over time, I do too.
I agree. It is so much more powerful when you actually are doing the work in front of them. Because my own experience with that has been, people are like shocked and amazed, but they're impressed. It's like, oh, you've got a process down. It's like, this isn't just schmoozing or glad handing. It's literal making connections and doing the work. And so, yeah, you're right. If you can do that from home, it's more effective if you've already are in a work mentality mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the mindset is definitely the first piece of being great at networking from home, not just proficient, but being great at it and having the mindset, the belief that not only can it be done, but it's actually a really much more powerful way to network. And it's a system I've been developing over these past 3 years, you know, basically getting perfectly set up for this time that's going on, because my business hasn't faltered one iota from what happened in the past month because of the COVID situation. So because I've been doing this process for 3 years and developing it and tweaking it, you know, it's my business has continued.
Yeah. So it is a perfect time for you to share your knowledge, just as the events have transpired here, that this is the perfect time to share your system, which you had mentioned you have four specific tips. So can you share those now?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing is, you know, seemingly obvious, but the first thing is get connected. So for people, different people, this can mean different things. So it could mean, like I mentioned, you and I are both BNI members. So members of BNI or other networking organizations of a similar type, you've got a natural group of people to network with now. So that's helpful, but I think it's also, helpful to get connected through other platforms such as LinkedIn, something that is made for business, right? People don't get on Facebook or Instagram with the intention of doing business or buying from other people.
Right.
So really focusing on something like LinkedIn to use as a connection piece to get connected to other people. Start looking through your list of connections. Who can you be talking to that you connected with maybe 3 years ago on LinkedIn, or they connected with you and you haven't had a conversation? Guess what? Now's the time to start reaching out to those people. So develop a list of people that you want to connect with. One of the other platforms that's out there that has come up recently in conversations is Alignable. I'm not personally a fan of it, but I know that there are others who are possibly using it. I think LinkedIn is a much more powerful connection tool than Alignable. Alignable just, it seems very spammy. I don't get anywhere near the spammy emails from LinkedIn as I was getting from Alignable when I had a membership or when I had an account there, and I recently disconnected it because it just wasn't doing me any good. It was taking up mental space and space in my email. But getting connected is really the important piece there, and having a connection plan. How are you going to utilize your networking groups or group, your network, whether it's BNI or something else? How are you going to use LinkedIn to connect? Develop a plan of what you're going to do. So for example, for me, I like to reach out on LinkedIn and connect with a certain number of people every day. So I'm literally growing my network every day and starting to reach out to people as they accept the connections and just start a messaging conversation that if through that point, I can then go ahead and determine if I want to meet with them on Zoom,
yeah,
or FaceTime.
Yeah. And really that this, you know, this whole first tip that you're talking about is a great strategy for networking in general, but because you are connecting over a virtual platform like LinkedIn, it is a natural step to say, let's connect virtually. Let's connect over a video conference. And definitely right now, while everyone is forced to stay at home, it makes total sense. But I think going forward, we're all getting used to this virtual meeting format to where we can continue to do it and do it from home.
And I think too, as you take a look at your LinkedIn, if your business is limited geographically, make sure you're limiting who you're connecting to geographically for the most part. You can also connect with, and I think it's a really smart idea to connect with other people who do the same thing you do in other regions, because that can be a mastermind basically for you of, hey, let's meet, let's share tips and tricks on how to build our business, during this time. You know, that can,
smart,
be part of your plan. But if you're someone who can offer your services or your product anywhere, then you want to be specific. If not by region, be specific about who your tribe is and try and connect with those people, without just going out and willy-nilly picking any 10 people, because that's not what I'm doing. I am making sure that the people I'm connecting with potentially serve a very specific purpose in my networking, whether they are someone who's connected to someone that I want to know, or if they are a potential client, or they are connected to potential clients. You know, I'm being very intentional about those connections. It's not a willy-nilly, you know, get 10 just for the sake of getting 10 so I can check something off a list, because that doesn't serve me later.
Right. It makes sense. You should be focused on your networking, make the most of your time. And as you said, it's purposeful, intentional. And again, that's great advice for networking in general, whether it's from home or not.
So the second piece is make sure you schedule time in your week to actually have these networking meetings. Most people in the past, when networking was an in-person thing, a face-to-face activity, that time got scheduled for you pretty much, you know, if you were going to large networking events from like chambers or other networking opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. But now, if you are working from home and we're not able to go meet people in person, then you want to specifically schedule some time or plan out some time in your week. Find a time that you know is generally not a great time for you to maybe do work for your business. So if there's, you know, specifically working in your business, use that time to be working on your business by networking and have that time scheduled out and fairly consistent. I think for most businesses, 1 to 3 hours per week set aside for the purpose of networking with others is a good base starting point for networking. Mm-hmm. I think if someone is more referral based, so my business, 93% of my business comes by referral. Right. It's the nature of being a coach, right? So in order, if other people know that a majority of their clients are coming by referral, then you really need to up that number. So I spend a lot more time than that. I probably spend upwards of 10 to 15 hours networking per mm-hmm. week. Yep. But again, that time is scheduled in with intention, because I know that 90+% of my clients come from referral. And so it's really important for me to continue networking with the purpose of building my business.
I would say that, you know, it definitely makes sense in that when we are used to networking at events, that, you know, the time is kind of built in for that. Mm-hmm. But I think in general, it makes sense that what most businesses probably can do a lot more business by referral. And so the key to that is to schedule the time and make it happen. And when you're doing it from home and you don't have to drive to meet someone, you have more time in the day to be able to schedule networking connections and to meet people and to make those connections. And so you might as well take advantage of that and build your business by referral, even if you haven't been as good as that in the past.
Exactly. I mean, one of the statistics that's out there is 97% of businesses rely on referrals in order to get new clients. Only 5% of businesses have a specific plan on how to get those referrals. And so, you know, if you don't have a plan for how to continue to get those referrals in this new climate of doing business, of working from home and now networking from home, it's going to be a lot harder to keep up your business in this time at the level that you would like to in order to keep it going. So I think having that time scheduled is really, really important, because one of the reasons that people don't get things done is because they don't schedule it in their calendar. And so whether it's paper calendar or a digital calendar, it doesn't matter. Put in that networking time each and every week. Color code it if you have to, so that way you know that that's where you can stick somebody in for a meeting. So I would definitely say utilize that basic premise of schedule time to network.
Very good.
So the third piece is then be intentional on the purpose of meeting. Again, meeting for the purpose of meeting is no good. It's a waste of time, right? And, you know, before, when business was running per usual, it was okay if you just had a get to know you meeting every once in a while and you didn't really focus on a particular intention or purpose for that meeting, or pick a person to meet with for a particular reason, right? So I now focus on quality over quantity, which is really funny because I just told you I network upwards of 10 hours or more per week. But I am doing each of those meetings has a very specific intention or purpose in that meeting. So if it's the first time I'm meeting with somebody, it's a getting to know you, making sure I even want to continue any sort of potential business relationship with them in one way, shape, or form. The second time I'm meeting with somebody, it's really to begin to get to know their business better and allow them to ask the questions that they need to get to know my business better. And the third time, I lay down the expectation from the get-go to say, okay, we've now met twice. We know each other. We like each other, obviously, or else we wouldn't be here now for the third meeting. What do you say we work for each other? Right. And in that third meeting, then we really begin to say, okay, let's get down to the nitty gritty. Here's, you know, here's what I'd like to do. And then I lay out a specific plan. Typically that third, fourth, fifth meeting with somebody is generally saying, okay, here's what I believe about who you want for your business. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then I spout off what I know about their ideal client or their ideal golden goose, referral. So somebody who's going to keep sending them client after client.
Right.
They then tweak my understanding and belief. And then once I know that, then I go, okay, I get all that written down. Then I have them do the same for me. Who do they think I'm looking for? Who do they think is my ideal client based on what we've talked about before? I tweak their understanding as necessary. And then I say, okay, so now that we each know this about our each other's ideal client, now let's dig down and get into our network, look into our contacts list, look at our Facebook, look at our LinkedIn, look at our phone contacts, our emails, and go, who do I know who kind of fits that that thing? So I'll oftentimes for 10 or 15 minutes, we're sitting there quietly working. We're not talking with each other because we're literally looking through and brainstorming, who do I know that fits that description, and coming up with three to five names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like you mentioned earlier, it's doing the work. It is networking. So,
yeah.
Which is very different than a lot of people think it is. But when you're doing it from home, it's a different environment, and you can really be intentional and get the work done and get a lot of productive work done, because both people that are doing the networking should come away with contacts and helpful information that should help them grow their business. Yeah.
Yeah. And so once we get to that point where we've got those three names, now here's the thing, I'm not guaranteed going to connect you to all three of those people. What I want to do is have each one of us have a quick conversation about the names that are on the list and say, okay, now who's the, you know, of these three, from based on what I've described about these people, who's the one you really want to meet? Who is the best fit for you based on the description? And they're going to pick one, and I'm going to start with that one to make sure that that's a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'd rather walk away with one good connection than them saying, oh yeah, when I happen to stumble across somebody, I would much rather just get one name that they will connect me to. And in fact, before we get off the Zoom or the FaceTime, we're going to send that first connection email and say, hey, I was just meeting with Jenny Bellinger, or I was just meeting with Marcel Brown, and your name came up and he requested a meeting with you. Would you be open to a conversation with him? And that's it.
And that could make the difference in someone's week as far as, you know, getting a new client or making a connection that's going to get them a lot of new clients. So it's a good amount of work to do, but it can be very beneficial for everyone involved. And if you do it, you know, on the scale that you're talking about, 10 to 15 times a week, I mean, that's a ton of business that can be coming in the door.
Potentially. Absolutely. Yep. And so I think the other thing to point out too, is that when you have a connection like that, and certainly from my own conversion rate, when I try and direct prospect out of connections from LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, of people who on the surface are probably my ideal client, they're only saying yes about 3 to 10% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People who send me referrals and people that I send to my referral partners, they generally are closing at a rate of 60% or higher.
Wow.
For me, when someone has been sent to me as a referral, I am closing them at a rate of 85 to 95% of the time.
Yeah.
When it's coming from referral, because somebody says, you know what? Marcel Brown sent me to you, and you know, he told me all about what you do and the results that you've had, and I want those results. Right. Yeah. By the time they come to me, I'm basically an order taker. Yeah. Right.
Those warm referrals really work out so much better than cold call prospecting, because people just don't know who you are. And if a connection has been made, there's just a built-in rapport.
Yeah, they've pre-sold you for the most part if you've done your job educating them on how to have that conversation, as well as part of that second and third and fourth and fifth meeting, right? Moving forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that third specific tip is to be intentional on the purpose of your meetings, quality over quantity. Getting, you know, that purpose has got to be really obvious to you as to why you're meeting with somebody. And then the fourth tip is follow through and follow up.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Mm. The two follows, the two things that probably most businesses would say that they drop the ball on the most. It's probably a nice way of saying it. And so one of the tips that I have to help people with their follow through and their follow up is automate as much of this networking from home as you can. So for example, I have a scheduling system that I use for people to set up meetings with me. So when I'm talking to somebody on LinkedIn or Facebook, or it's one of my referral partners from BNI, mm-hmm. when we establish that we'd like to meet, I send them to my Calendly in order to allow them the opportunity to gain access to my calendar. Mm-hmm. And pick a day and time that works for both of us. And the benefit of using my calendar system is that it automatically sets up a Zoom link, sends the Zoom link to both of us, sends a calendar invite to both of us that we both accept. So then the meeting shows up on the digital calendar with the Zoom link attached, and the system I have my Calendly set up to send an email reminder one day before and 1 hour before the meeting.
Wow.
Once I send that link to somebody, I don't have to do a darn thing except show up.
And as a technology guy, I'll say that's some pretty exciting stuff to just be able to say, schedule it and it's on my calendar. It's like having a virtual assistant in that regard, except it's a very virtual assistant for that process.
Yeah. And depending on who I'm talking to, I'll tell them I have an awesome calendar system that will automagically set up a Zoom link for us. And it will send us the link an hour before our meeting. So that way people know that this meeting is going to happen. So the great thing, that automation just really helps with the follow through and the follow up, because then the other thing that I have set up in my Calendly is I have set up an email reminder that goes out an hour after our meeting saying, thank you so much for meeting with me. I really enjoyed getting to know you. I look forward to continuing this business relationship.
Yeah. And the big effect of all that is you seem so much more professional that when they go and sign up and they see how well it works and they get the reminders and it's like clockwork, they're like, this person's serious about doing business and networking. And then when they get that follow-up an hour later, I mean, it really seals the deal.
And so automating is a big help, right? The other part of the follow-through is you've got to have a system for follow through. So what I do, and I'm sure there are many other ways to set up systems for follow through, but what works for me is as I'm meeting with somebody, I'm taking notes on a piece of paper because I know that people learn best when they hear right. Because then you hear it, you then write it down. So now you're seeing it and you heard it and you actually physically wrote it out, which helps you remember things better. Mm-hmm. I'm not writing things word for word, obviously. I'm taking notes on the really important stuff that needs to happen. My notebook is kept in chronological order. So I write down, you know, I keep a legal pad that has the date in the left margin. I write who I'm meeting with. I write down their company name, what do they do? What problem do they solve? Who their ideal client is. If it's the first meeting where I'm getting to know them, I'm writing down married, not married, kids, that kind of stuff to kind of remember those things. So when I refer back, before I meet with them a second or third time, I can remember those things about them. But then as I'm taking notes, when I tell them I'm going to do something, I write it down and I have a highlighter and I highlight it. Mm. I highlight my homework. So makes that sense. Way, once I get off the call, if it's something that I can't do right then and there, for whatever reason, it's highlighted and that I refer back to that the next time I'm on my notebook and go, okay, what haven't I checked off of my highlights? What needs to be done now? So when I have some time of like, okay, now it's follow-up, follow-through time, and Friday is like follow-up Friday for me. Follow-up Friday is when I'm going through and double checking all those and crossing off as many highlighted things from the week as I can. Or from previous meetings until something's crossed off and done. But of course, if it can be done during the meeting, I get it done during the meeting. I create that as well. And the last part of the follow-up and follow-through is there's a couple of things that most people don't know about. And you as a techie, I know you've heard me talk about it a lot of times because we do share a home office. So you hear me talking about it to my clients and other networkers all the time, which is the ability to pre-schedule emails and pre-schedule texts.
Yes.
These are things that can help you with follow-up and follow-through when it's something that doesn't necessarily fit into, let's say, for example, a CRM. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can pre-schedule an email. Now, I don't know how many other emails have this functionality, but I know Gmail does. So anybody who's using Gmail or G Suite for their business email has the ability to pre-schedule an email. And basically you pick who it's going to, you get the subject line, you write the email, but instead of clicking send, there's a little arrow right next to the send button. Mm-hmm. You click that arrow and it says schedule email, and you click that. And then it gives you some typical times to send an email. So maybe tomorrow morning, tomorrow at lunch, tomorrow at 5 p.m. So end of business day, whatever it may be, or you can do a custom time. I always do the custom time. Okay. And I oftentimes will schedule these emails out depending on the person that I'm meeting with. If they are someone that I want to meet with again, but based on our level of relationship, I don't need to meet with them like next month. Let's say I want to meet with them once a quarter, then I will set the next email to go out in 2 weeks, or I'm sorry, in 2 months. Mm-hmm. So that way, by the time we get a new email, a new meeting scheduled, we're about 3 months out.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes sense.
And so that pre-scheduled email really helps me stay on track with people who I am keeping a particular level of relationship with, and we're meeting on a fairly regular schedule. Mm-hmm. You can also pre-schedule texts. There are apps that you need to use in order to do that for Apple iPhones. I use something called Scheduled. There's a free version that lets you send three pre-scheduled texts per month. Which if you're using this for business, you're going to be sending a lot more than that. There are some days I'm sending anywhere from 3 to 5 pre-scheduled texts in a day, let alone in a month. And so the paid version is like $3.99. And no, I am not an affiliate. No, I don't get paid for sharing it. It's just a tool that is helpful to everyone I've ever shared it with. And it's worth the $4 a month in order to follow through and follow up. It's a phenomenal tool that not enough people use. And for people who are on Android, some Androids have the ability to pre-schedule a text message right from within the messaging app. You just kind of have to play around. And if your Android doesn't have that ability, you can download an SMS scheduler. Just go into the Google Play Store and search SMS scheduler. And there's a million options.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense, definitely with the emails you're talking about, you know, scheduling something for a time in the future of weeks or months. That makes a lot of sense. But with text, even, it makes a lot more sense because you don't want to send a text at late at night, but you don't want to forget to send the text the next day. So it's very important with the texting that you send it at an appropriate time and to schedule it. It's you know, make sure that you don't forget. And it makes sure that the recipient gets it at a time that makes sense for, you know, that isn't inconvenient for them or even inconsiderate for you, and much more likely than that if they receive it, say, in the morning, let's say 10 o'clock or something, where they've gotten to work and now they're already with their day, they're more likely to be able to respond to it and take action or give you the information you need back. So makes a lot of sense.
Pro tip on the pre-scheduled emails and texts, at least for right now, while people are working from home because of the shelter in place orders. Mm-hmm. Right now, based on all of the research I've been doing, the perfect time to send a text or an email if you want a quick response is between 2 and 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Hmm. Okay.
Of whatever time zone they're in. And I know this because that is the peak time that my podcast is getting downloaded and listened to.
Mm. Okay.
Every week, regardless of the day that they listen, 90, what was it that my dashboard said on my podcast analytics? I think it was something like 90% of listens are happening between 2 and 3 p.m. If you look at your email, I bet you most emails are showing up to you from other people between 2 and 3 p.m. Hmm. So I think people are spending the rest of the time, rest of the day working with their kids, you know, having other meetings. And I think 2 to 3 seems to be the time that people are actually on their devices. You know, obviously listening to a podcast or, you know, so pro tip right now, have it send between 2 and 3 p.m. because people seem to be available to answer things during that time frame.
Well, that's an interesting piece of information. We'll have to see if it works out and if that's true even going forward in the future as more people keep working from home. So,
yeah,
excellent information. Well, thank you very much, Jenny. This has been very enlightening, a lot of good information. And certainly anyone that needs help networking from home, you know, I'll have your contact information in the show notes. And again, I thank you for your time.
Oh, no, thanks for having me. I'm, like I said, I really love to be able to share and help people grow during this time. And this is for me, a no-brainer.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Working From Home and Living to Tell About It. Please take the time to rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcasting platform. And I look forward to seeing you next time on another episode.
Thank you for listening to the Working From Home and Living to Tell About It podcast with Marcel Brown. For more information about the episode you just listened to, visit workingfromhomepodcast.com. Please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and share this podcast with your friends and family who work from home. See you on the next episode of Working From Home and Living to Tell About It.